Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're almost to the weekend.
I'm freaking pumped! I've been drinking green tea all damn day!
It's time to get weird.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not a little kitty cat no more.
Always awkward, often offensive, exceedingly entertaining.
I was going to ask you, who you think would win in a fight between a grilled cheese sandwich and a taco?
It's time for the Weekend Would You Rather.
Grilled cheese, but only in a fair fight. If it's prison rules, I'd take the taco.
The Weekend You Would Rather on 1080.
This is my hat now. This is totally my hat.
The Fan.
All right. Ooh. We've got our Weekend Would You Rather here, and Buck is going Stranger Things on us.
That's correct. It is a Friday the 13th edition of Would You Rather with some spooky happenings going on.
Dave Bartu is with us, College Football Matrix. He's been dishing the deets, and now, are you familiar with the Weekend Would You Rather?
No.
You are not. You're about to be familiarized with the Weekend Would You Rather.
Be baptized.
So, the way this is going to work, Dave, is that I'm going to give you a couple scenarios, and you're going to have to pick one of the two options I give you. I'm also going to have categories for you guys to choose from for your questions. So, these are all events that happened on Friday the 13th at various points in history, but we'll switch back over to our normal music. The categories for you guys today are Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls.
Okay.
Alone in the Andes.
Okay.
Not Great Bob. Well, That Sinks. Or Florida Man. Dave, okay. Where do you want to start? Which category sounds good?
Oh, we got to go with Florida Man.
Okay, so this one is a story that comes to us from Friday the 13th of July 2018. A Florida man with no arms was charged with stabbing another man with a pair of scissors. This 46-year-old man used his feet to stab his victim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
My question to you,
Dave's just like, yeah, I've seen that in Humboldt County before.
Dude, what are you talking about? That's like a shank on, what is that, Roadhouse, right?
Tuesday got the Gainesville, guys. I don't know. No, my question for you is, if you were to be the victim of this stabbing by an armless man, would you seek justice with the authorities or would you just tell no one?
Oh, I think justice, yeah. Screw that guy.
You wouldn't be a little embarrassed that you got stabbed by someone that had no arms?
Yeah, no, I'd go.
Oh, what do you mean?
No, because no matter
what do you mean embarrassed that I got stabbed? You know, what if I was just drunk on the ground? Yeah. I didn't know. What if I was incapacitated? Well,
I suppose that's a different scenario.
I'm seeking justice because it's a lose-lose if you go and you go on your own for your own vigilante justice on this guy, because then you're stabbed and you're going to be ridiculed by everybody else for beating up the guy with no arms, right? If you go and you take that guy out, no, go to the police. Let them handle their business.
Okay, so we've adequately decided that justice is the best.
Justice, absolutely.
Is the best path there.
Stab him back.
All right, Dusty, Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls, Alone in the Andes, Not Great Bob, or Well, That Sinks.
Not Great Bob.
So July 1979, Friday the 13th, was Bob Renfrey's last day that he ever went outside on a Friday the 13th. Because of all the bad things that happened to him that day, this one individual walked through a plate glass window, was fired from his job, and accidentally put his wife in the hospital after hitting her in the head throwing a stick for his dog. All three of these things happened to one person. He thought, it's definitely Friday the 13th. I'm never leaving bed on Friday the 13th again.
See? Now what do you think about that, Bart, too? That's a little
superstitious. But what if while he was doing that, his team came from behind to win?
Now you have to do that every time.
He also witnessed his wife fall down the stairs that day.
Yeah. Sorry, honey, you're going to have to take that spill for the betterment of the team.
How many stairs? We already discussed this, man.
My question for you,
psychology in this one.
The rare three choice, would you rather? Would you rather, on every Friday the 13th, walk through a plate glass window, get fired from your job, or the final one, accidentally hit your wife in the head with a stick you threw for the dog? that puts her in the hospital.
Well, it's 2:16. My wife's at work, so she won't hear this. Maybe I should consciously object to the answer.
Every Friday the 13th, the same thing's going to keep
happening. I'm going to go walk through the plate glass window.
Plate glass?
Yeah, I'm going to go through the plate glass. Because then you can just Kool-Aid man in and be like, oh, yeah. Which one are you doing,
How
Dave?
Big's the stick?
How serious is the gash
How
on the
bad is
head?
The wound?
Yes.
How big is the stick?
All right.
Dave, do you want to go alone in the Andes, don't go chasing waterfalls, or well that sinks?
Oh, we're going the Andes.
Okay, so October 1972 on Friday the 13th, a plane crashed in the Andes Mountain. 12 died, and the survivors ended up eating some of the dead.
Life, isn't that the name of the movie?
Yeah, and they also, Showtime made a show about it this year with a soccer team that got stranded in the woods and had to do that. But Donner Party did that too. Question for you, though, is if you were to be in a plane crash, would you eat the survivors or would you hold out and wait until someone finds you in time?
Is there fire? Can I cook them?
Oh, yeah. Cool. I'm assuming you have whatever, you know, faculties.
Whatever I need to, you know.
Bowhunter Dave, it seems like you already...
I'm eating those suckers.
I know. You know how to, like, dress
he actually knows which cut is going to be the juiciest.
Start with the fattest guy, because the fattest is the good stuff.
Dave's over there just eyeing one guy. He's like, stop looking at me like that,
These
Dave.
Questions aren't hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man.
I don't know.
You got to do what you got to do.
Do you think anybody would... Absolutely not.
Well, aren't there reports when this happens of people that always abstain and die first? Like, yeah. I feel like that there usually are people that are like, not going to be for me.
It's not like you're clubbing somebody over the head and
no.
I mean, they're going and
right.
Then
it's the Andes, yeah. So it's frozen. It's not going bad. It's like a little refrigerator up there.
Yeah,
you know, so. I just wonder. No, but
Dave's treating the airplane crash like a dorm room.
Well, I mean, it is what it is.
I got my Foreman grill over here.
I don't think
I got my mini fridge.
I don't think psychologically can you actually not do that and kill yourself.
That's
true. Yeah,
right.
Like, I'm with you.
You want to talk about your flight to survive?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just don't even in that situation. Even if you were throwing up while you were doing it. You got to.
Yeah, trust tree right here, guys. I'd eat you guys, all right?
And I'd have no problem with that.
All right, not alive, though.
Dusty, you want to go don't go chasing waterfalls or well that sinks?
Waterfalls.
November 1829, Sam Patch died after jumping off the Genesee Falls in New York. He thought he could do it because he successfully jumped off the Niagara Falls weeks before.
Bad idea.
My question to you is, would you rather jump off the side of a waterfall like Niagara, which we know people can survive, or would you rather free climb the side of an equally tall building?
No, I'm jumping off. I'm going waterfall.
You got no shot on the building.
No building. I'm dead.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Because you're not making that climb.
Nope.
And the heights would freak me out, so I know I'd lose a grip at some point.
Yeah.
So you can die.
Dead.
So even if it's 1% with Niagara Falls, you're going with the falls.
Yes.
Fair enough. And finally, well, that sinks. January 2012, a cruise ship sunk off the coast of Italy. People had to be evacuated from the middle of the ocean. And then you have July 1951, floods in northeast Kansas that caused Manhattan, Lawrence, and other towns to be completely submerged by water. So, you have a sinking town and a sinking ship. Once in your lifetime, would you rather have to escape a sinking ship or escape a sinking town?
Oh.
It's Kansas. Who cares?
One Isaac Rop.
I Everett Rop over there. You know, funny story. I know a guy that was on his way to... Because they had problems getting that cruise ship out of Italy.
Yeah.
And they flew him from here to Italy. He's on a train... to go, and they're like unveiling their plan of how they're gonna like drill in like buoys and then buoy the ship up and like make it turn it upright and then pull it out. And he's like, that's not gonna work. And he's like, you flew me all the way here and this was your plan? And so they just turned around, went right back. He got right back on a plane and came right back here. And the ship, he's like, this plan is not going to work, guys. You guys should have briefed me on this because they didn't want to unveil the plan until everybody got there.
Oh, jeez.
It was horrible. I want to escape the sinking city.
Yeah, you think it's not going to sink very fast. Yeah. You actually have some time.
Yeah, Jaws is going to get you in.
You know, the sinking ship wouldn't be bad if it's sunny outside and warm water right near a shore. Not Titanic-esque.
See, so. I think I'm actually going the other way. 32 people did die on the sinking cruise ship. I'm like, I could replace my possessions and even my home. Just get me off the ship safe. I'll worry about my house and the sinking land another time.
But again, it's time and place because you're talking Mediterranean, Italy.
This
it's
is true.
Warm.
This
the water's
is
true. Good. Yeah. That's cool, good right? Call. So, again, we're not getting enough information to make a proper decision on these things.
And then that.
Too easy for Dave Bartin.
Still haven't got a stick size yet on that thing.
Dave Bartu, college football matrix. He just matrixed the S out of that weekend. Would you rather as well? Dave, what's the coolest thing that you guys have ever done with the matrix? I want to hear it next. Your feedback and your questions for Dave Bartu. We will get to those at 2:30 as well. This is Dusty and Friends on the Fam.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, is with us. We've had some great stories today. And this has been very fascinating to me about the origins of the Matrix and how you've evolved and how you've taken it from, like, a question that you heard on the radio from Colin Cowherd to, all right, how does recruiting and talent acquisition, you know, present itself as far as the numbers and wins and losses in national titles? And then you've added coach effect to it, and then gambling and game to game. And it wasn't just win totals, but then over unders and single games. And now you're to the point where you're helping hire coaches around the country.
Yeah.
It's incredible. The evolution of this.
No, it's been a fun hobby for a while. It's fun. I'd say it's finally a job now.
Yeah.
You know, but it had been it has been kind of a labor of love. I think if you divide the hours by the pay, it's pennies on the hour.
Right.
But for some reason, I just kept clicking with it, and we've kind of found our way.
So what is the coolest thing that you've done with the Matrix? Oh,
man, you know, we've done a lot of cool things. I've talked to a lot of guys. The most incredible thing happened in December last year.
Okay.
And remember how we were talking before that one of our services is we help former head coaches get new jobs.
Yeah.
And I'd been working this one head coach, again, got a hold of me through Twitter, you know, because I was talking about him. I'm like, hey, this guy, you know, blank is really good and everybody's sleeping on him. And I think there's a lot of potential there. And I think he should be a head coach again because he's done really good things at his last two stops.
Mm-hmm.
And he just got caught up in the middle of a new AD and then got fired because the new AD just wanted his guy.
Wants his right? guy.
Wants
yeah.
his guy. And so I was saying good things about him on Twitter. So he sees it. He follows me. He gets a hold of me. I say, here's what we do to try to help you get a new head coach job. And he's like, oh, I'll sign that contract. And so we started working for him. And we were finally able to help him land a job in December, which was awesome. It was cool because he really wanted that job, and we put a lot of time into having it prepared. But it was at the beginning of December. We know National Signing Day is 3 weeks away. And, you know, at this point, I'd been working with him for about 18 months. He knew what we did, you know, besides what we did for him. He knew what we did for programs. And he's like, okay, I took a big pay cut so we'd have a bigger pool for salaries. Recruiting's bad here. I need to spend the next 3 weeks recruiting. So I need you to find my staff.
No way.
Right.
He was just hitting the pavement and just saying,
yeah,
I'm just going to be kicking down doors and I don't have anybody with me right now.
Right. Go find the guys that get on base.
Wow.
He's like, I've seen everything that you've done. He's like, a couple guys, I already know what I want. You know, there's a couple guys that I'm going to pull from here and pull from here. And I really like these guys. He's like, but you got your draft list. We've gone through it. I need you to track them down. See who's interested in interview. Set up the interview for me.
No way.
And I'll knock them down. Huh. Right. And I'm like, how do I even get a hold of these guys? Right. I was in shock and I was like, well, I can do anything. I've never done this. I'm like, you know, coach, I have never done this before. And he goes, well, nobody has, you know? Yeah. And so here we are, we're pioneering college football. No head coach has ever moneyballed a staff.
Wow.
Right. Cause moneyball isn't on the field. It's off the field. And so I can still remember, I'm like, okay. He's like, start with the offensive coordinator. He goes, I agree that the guy you have, we have number one on our board. Go track him down, Dave. How am I supposed to find the number for this guy? So
I'm going to go hit up the white pages.
No. So what happened with that guy, he's a 4-star offensive coordinator. He's the best. I mean, he ended up hiring him. He is the best offensive coordinator in that conference right now, you know, and he was available. And so I went to Twitter. And I'm like, okay, this guy was just at this school. And who do I know that was at that school? Oh, dude, this quarterback that follows me was at that school. And we talk about gambling all the time. So I sent him a DM on Twitter. I'm like, hey, can you help me find this coach? And he's like, I don't have his number, but give me 5 minutes. Yeah. 5 minutes later, I get a text. He goes, I think this is it. I call him. The offensive coordinator answers. I'm like, hey, here's, I'm Bart 2. This is what I do. This is what I'm doing this for. You're awesome. And you interested in this job? Yeah, I think I am. Like, what? You know, I mean, it freaked me out. And he's like, I would love an interview. Week later is done.
See, right? Like, it's not that hard.
Right. I'm like, this isn't that hard. But it was interesting, like going down the draft board, you know? So we're looking for a DC and the number one guy in the draft board is Randy Shannon. Like, I got to get a hold of Randy Shannon. I mean, it's pie in the sky, right?
Yeah.
And I finally get Randy Shannon's number. I'm like, holy crap. I'm going to talk to Randy Shannon. It's cool. And, you know, and he's like, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not interested in that job.
Not you nearly know? As cool as you thought it was going to be.
Oh, dude, I hang up. I mean, it was a 10-second conversation. I'm like, oh, that was bad. You know, that was great. You know, I got to do this again. And so I just spent like the next 2 weeks tracking guys down, getting phone numbers. Hey, do you know this guy? You know this guy? You know? And so over the period of the next 3 weeks, we moneyballed a college football staff. So
he
hired 10 headsets, right? Three of them were his picks. Seven of them came off of our spreadsheets and all of our work.
That is cool. And I know that you can't.
Yeah, he's like, we can't talk about this because if it doesn't work, we'll look stupid.
But when it does work.
I'm like, but dude, it's going to work.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to work. I can't wait
till you take the victory lap on this.
Man, if they're even just being bowl eligible will be huge. This is a good staff. They'll turn around good this year. I think next year they'll be really good. I'm hoping it works. The numbers say it should work well, but that has been the most one of the most exciting things so far, but it never gets old.
That's really cool.
Right? When you get a text from a head coach that's a top 10 head coach in college football that goes, I've been watching your work and you guys are the best at what you do. Could I hire you?
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, it's just you know, stuff like that out of the blue is wicked. It doesn't get old. It never gets old.
Dave, I have a question. How do you go ahead and then quantify success? Because I know you're saying like this one program, you think on paper they look like they're going to be good. Right. They've got the staff to do it. They should grow. Can you say that 80% of the time I think you're going to make a 3 or 4 win leap? Or like are there certain things that you can promise to these programs?
No.
I know that every program is going to be a little bit different. There's going to be a little variation. But like how do you go about essentially I guess documenting what you're able to create for them?
You can't guarantee anything because what if something happens internally, culture issues, talent issues, roster. I mean, there's so many things that you don't know, but ultimately we're going to quantify it by the head coach going, well, that worked. That was good.
Yeah. Well, and the trust you talked about building earlier, right? If they recommend you to other people, if they believe the data and want to come back to it.
Well, and I don't even ask for recommendations to the other people. I really don't even like talking about, you know, who we work with or things like that. I don't need a recommendation because our best clients just find us.
Yeah.
They hear about us. I'll guarantee you right now, there might even be somebody listening that is just doesn't follow on Twitter. You don't know. All these guys have burner accounts. Every once in a while, I'll talk to a coach. God, I talked to one a couple weeks ago, and he's like, hey, I saw your tweet about something, something. I'm like, Coach, you don't follow me. He goes, yeah, I do.
Like, no, you don't.
Right? And so there's always, even like a conversation like this is actually really important.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who's listening. There may be somebody that listens and goes, I didn't understand exactly what they did.
Boy, you are from Humboldt County. Yeah. We don't let you know who we are. Just know. If you know, you know.
Right.
And then you can come in and you'll find out.
We'll let you know when we want you to know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
and you never know who's listening.
It's been a really cool ride, and it's a privilege to earn these guys' trust. And to try to make a difference in the programs that we think is positive.
All right, we got your questions, 503-250-1080. That is a fan text line. Very thoughtful text coming in. This is Dusty and Friends. Right now it's Buck with SportsCenter. Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, is our guest today. Friend of the day. We got a lot of texts coming in at 503-250-1080. Let's see here. Where do they start? Here's just a good one just on the baseline. Where do you find all of your college football data? Do you have like a favorite site that you go to for college football stats, data, and information?
It's usually all over the place.
Yeah.
We have probably four places that we find it. A couple of them are password only places.
Okay.
So we kind of pay for access there. The transfer portal, that's easy to get that kind of data. A lot of it is gathering pieces from different spots and then integrating it together to make one big set.
Wait, is the portal somewhere where like anybody can go?
Not really.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was easy for you to get in there and now you're just kind of...
If you know enough people, you just get a username and password.
There you go.
Bang.
Another one. How does Mario Cristobal grade out in your system? Because there's a lot of debate on Cristobal's coaching abilities. One text.
Well,
says.
Okay. So we're talking coaching.
Yep.
Now, what I like to look at though, when we're working for athletic directors, is there's three parts.
Okay.
To a coach, there is coaching ability, which I think they're referencing. There is hiring ability, and there is recruiting ability.
So okay.
There's three different things there. Okay. His strength is recruiting and staffing. In fact, his staffing, when he came to Oregon, he was the guy that, looking at what made him tick, because he was in my backyard, he was the guy that got us down the path of grading all of the coaches over the last 12 years.
Okay.
So 4 years ago, we started pulling every name of every coach in college football, every headset.
That seems okay? like now a small
that,
list.
Now that, you have to type it all in by hand. You cannot copy paste. That doesn't exist anywhere. So because we were interested, because at FIU, he had Orlando and Satterfield as his OC and DC. Those guys are both.
Yeah, Todd Orlando and Scott Satterfield, who's the head coach at Louisville now.
Exactly.
And Todd Orlando has been a rising star in the D coordinator ranks for years and hasn't been a head coach yet, I don't think. No. He's been at Texas. He's been a lot of different places.
Yeah, he was just at USC and you know, part of the Helton meltdown there.
Right.
So, but, you know, I was looking at that and I'm like, Satterfield and Orlando at FIU. This guy knows how to try to find this stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? So... his ability to hire and fire is very good. His recruiting ability, I mean, Duck Fan's not going to argue that. I mean, he pulled at least two top 10 classes while he was here, I think, right? I mean, his four-year run while he was here was the best recruiting they've ever had. So outside of Nick Saban, pretty hard to get a better recruiter. So two of the three categories, absolute rock star. Now, as far as game results and so forth, where he stands up in comparison to in the ACC. So, for example, in the ACC, We have him number one in both categories in the ACC from recruiting and staffing. But in actual coach on field, we have him sixth in the ACC.
Okay.
Okay. Sweeney's in there. Satterfield's in there. You know, Dave Doran at North Carolina State. Dave Clawson at Wake Forest had an awesome year last year.
And those are the guys who do more with less.
Yeah. And then Mario right there. So, but when you look at the entire package, you can't just, you know, so many people want to focus. If you're angry, you focus on the negative. If you like somebody, you focus on the positive. You got to look at the whole ball of wax, right?
Yeah.
And so from an ability to create a staff and recruiting, those are incredible strengths that he has as a head coach.
How about this one? Is the Pac-12 as weak as ESPN makes it seem?
Yeah, Pac-12 sucks.
Cool. All
right. Coaching-wise, it is the worst coached by our grades. It's the worst coached Power 5 conference in the country. Talent-wise, it's not too bad. You know, you look over the last 10 years, Pac-12 has the third most starts in the NFL.
Yeah.
They produce a lot of talent. Coaching-wise, it is extremely weak in their ability to build staffs.
Interesting. We got more questions as we're going to wrap it up with Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. He's the been nice enough all 3 hours to ride with us. Thank you for being a part of our day. It is right now 2:44 on The Fan. Everyone's watching. Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, is our friend of the day. It's good to have, like, and this is the thing, is we're doing Dusty and Friends, and we're bringing in actual friends. So I'm glad that you were able to come down today and hang out, man.
No,
I appreciate it.
It's cool. Like I told you, is anytime that I can help out and support the show, and hopefully the listeners enjoyed it today.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they have. I mean, the feedback has already been great, and we've got a ton of great questions that are coming in, like this one. Does Nick Rolovich get another major job? Major job.
God,
Nick
Rolovich, I hope so. I love that dude.
Yeah, he got fired because of the COVIDs at Washington State, and he was actually doing an okay job there. He's doing a pretty good job.
I thought
he
was doing an exceptional job there. I mean, he was winning football games. I like who he hired. Dickert was good.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people, that was off the radar for a lot of people. We'd had Dickert circled for a long time. So when he made that choice to bring in Dickert, I was like, wow, man, this guy might really know what he's doing with staffing.
From a Matrix standpoint, he sticks out to you, huh?
Yeah, he does, yeah. You know. You know, the COVID issues, well, that's for him. I don't know. That's not in a spreadsheet. I don't care.
It's his problem,
whatever.
Not yours.
I'd be surprised. I was surprised that he didn't get a job this year.
Yeah.
I really was.
Like somewhere down south.
Right, exactly. Texas, somewhere south where people just didn't give a ass as much, you know. And so I would expect to see him back in college football a lot sooner than later.
All right, here's a Michigan State fan.
Mm.
It says, with Mel Tucker, are they going to be able to compete for championships once in a while, or will they cap out with the New Year's Six Bowls from P1 Spartan?
Man, it is tough for Michigan State because right now you have Ohio State cranking. You got Michigan doing good. You got Penn State solid. Look, Michigan State, when they made the run, D'Antoni was really good, okay?
Yeah.
But you also had sanctioned Penn State. You had crappy Michigan, and you had Tressel with trouble in Ohio State. Okay, so there was a nice window there. They were still really well coached. Don't get me wrong, but there was a really good window for Michigan State. That window doesn't exist right now. Now Mel Tucker has made two really good coordinator hires, and in fact, one of his coordinators, man, I tried hard to steal him for a client this year. I love one of his guys. Oh my gosh. So whoever asked that question, I am coming for your coordinators with somebody else. But I like the staff, but I just don't see it holding together long term.
What does the Matrix say about Notre Dame losing Brian Kelly? Seemed like they were always one tier away from a playoff win. Does that gap grow?
Well, I mean, you got a young guy in Marcus Freeman. Mm-hmm. The players really loved him. That was a player hire. Literally, the entire team walked into the athletic director office and really kind of forced the hand. It wasn't supposed to go that direction. So Marcus Freeman's there. I think the staff took a big step back. Brian Kelly was number one on our draft board for the best head coach available. But I really didn't like his hires. He went with a lot of buddies and friends. I think he went ultra conservative with LSU. I think it's going to hurt, especially defensively this year. Notre Dame, the talent's still going to be there. They're always going to be against the number in terms of recruiting because access to Notre Dame is pretty tough. Tommy Reese is decent, but he brought in Al Golden as a defensive coordinator. Barf. So I think right now I have Notre Dame as the 65th best staff in college football this year. I think the defense is going to be poor. I think the offense will be good. But I think Notre Dame for the first year or two is going to take a step back from what Kelly did over the last couple of years.
All right. David Shaw, Kyle Whittingham, Lincoln Riley. Those are probably your top three coaches in the Pac-12, I'm assuming.
Oh, hell no.
No?
Dude, why would you have Lincoln Riley up there?
Well, because
you're suffering from Chip Kelly syndrome.
He was really good at Oklahoma.
But was he? What did he have to do? Okay, this is something. See, I really believed in Chip Kelly. Okay. Really believed in Chip Kelly, right? And then he went to UCLA and it just didn't go. Now, I love his hire. I think the best hire in the Pac-12 this year, coordinator-wise, is Bill McGovern. But when you look back at Kelly, he did not have to develop anything. Mike set the defense for him. Right? Because when he was when he was moved up, nobody left. He didn't have to reset the defensive staff. And Mike was there the whole time. Same thing with Lincoln Riley. Bob Stoops was there the whole time. Bob set the staff. Bob ran everything. Bob held his hand. This has nothing to do with that. I do not have Lincoln Riley in the top three in the Pac-12.
Yes. All right. Okay? What's your top three?
Give me your one through 12. Lincoln Riley as a play caller.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yes. Right? I mean, you're
very good.
Your three best play callers in the Pac-12 are Kelly, Riley, and Jonathan Smith.
Okay.
Now, I know Jonathan Smith's not your OC, but he's awesome if he was your OC. Okay. But head coach wise, I'm sticking with Whittingham. And remember, this is for a career, folks.
Yeah.
This is for a career. Okay. David Shaw. And Shaw's had some awesome years. Hasn't been there. He's regressing right now. And Chip Kelly, because he had awesome years with Oregon.
Chip's pumping out NFL talent, too.
He is, and I really like his hire of McGovern. I don't like his loss of his special teams coordinator. But Lincoln Riley, I have Lincoln Riley in the next group. Lincoln's with Kalen and Jonathan.
Okay.
That's where I have him in that next tier. So your upper tier is Chip, David, and Kyle. And then you have Lincoln, Kalen, and Jonathan in that second tier.
And then you have a lot of really unknowns with the guys like, you know, Dan Lanning, Jed Fish, Dickert, those kind of guys.
Fish and his staff is the worst in the Pac-12. It's horrible. I don't know what they're saying to recruit. I have Arizona 124th in staffing, so they should be better than a bye. But Dan and Jake, you can't grade them. We have them as a 50. Yeah. There's no grade. They haven't done anything.
All right. Well, there's... I'm like you put it at 50 because you can't go up or down.
Right. See, what we'll do is with Dan is we'll look at the results of this year and then adjust his head coach on the field accordingly.
Yeah. I like it. Bartu, you are the man. You've answered all of our questions. Thank you so much for doing this, dude. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate being here.
Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, the man, the myth, the legend. And it started by listening to The Herd. And Twitter. Colin Cowherd and Twitter changed your life.
And changed college football, literally.
It really is. Thanks, Bartu. All right, we'll see you Monday from noon to 3. Up next, Primetime with Isaac and Sue.